with the video presentation or with the normal internet church website audio link. And mentioned the other day about reading Psalm 137 and 138 and just considering the context of what people are facing then and what we're facing now. I think it really applies. So let me read from the scriptures, because I think there's power in the Word of God. I know there's power in the Word of God. And first one is a familiar one. We had a song by Boney M. back in 1978, I think, made these words famous, but they were famous before that, as a record of what had happened to God's people in exile. And it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept, where we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how can we sing songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skills. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. O daughter of Jerusalem, doomed to destruction. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is he who repays you for what you have done to us. He who seizes your infants and dashes them against rocks." That's pretty graphic kind of language. And it's interesting, as a musician, to lose the skill of your right hand, or to have your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you can't sing, you can't play. You know, such was the deep concern of their hearts, because they really couldn't, they didn't feel like singing anymore, because their situation had changed so much. In fact, there was a sense of revenge and anger and pretty horrid kind of thinking going on against those who had inflicted such forced change on them. But if we go on and read Psalm 138, we see David also in a difficult situation, also outside of his familiar context, and he's saying this. He says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will praise you. I will bow down toward your holy temple. I will praise your name for your love and for your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, and with your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands." As I look at these two psalms and I look at these situations that the people of God have found themselves in, both corporately and individually, and I look at their responses and I look at what we face and our responses, I can't help think that, yep, we're creatures of habit and we're confronted by the change, and change that has been fast change. We do things the way we do them because we've always done them that way. Rhythms and patterns are good. Well, they're usually good anyway. And but now this year we've experienced this forced change. We've been shocked and grieved by death, by the death of loved ones, and that has deeply impacted us. There's been the catastrophe of bushfires in our own area that has left individuals and our community and our district profoundly affected. Now, as various stages of precaution and lockdown are implemented to prevent the spread of the Kanara virus, coronavirus, we find ourselves at a bit of a loss to know what the natural rhythms are and how our habits and things that we've always done can still work. And our lives and our habits are under the microscope and are up for scrutiny. So much has changed. It's kind of like there's been a big pause button that's been hit. So what's worth hanging on to and what needs to change? As I said, in Psalm 37, this reflects a situation of massive change. It's an unprecedented change for God's people exiled in Babylon. It's a sad lament, and it's a lament deeply missing the normal rhythms of their life. And like us, things that they'd taken for granted, it was hard. And there was immense dislike and even vengeful reaction for what and for who had inflicted that upon them. We can't forget what once was normal, the habit of meeting together to worship the Lord, of sharing our genuine interest in what's happening in one another's lives, of being able to call in and have a cuppa and pray and just do the things that we normally did. You know, the encouragement of lifting up our voices together in praise. It's just not the same to, watch a television screen or sing to a television or a computer screen. How do we sing the Lord's song in a strange land or in a strange kind of context? So it seems like fast, forced change. How do we value building lasting community in this context? How do we step up to the challenge and not give up and not shrink back? A phone call from Ken Westwood, who is Lindsay and Mavis Cray's son-in-law. You may know of him and may know that he served here as pastor many years ago. And amidst the sorrow and the concern of Lindsay's age and illness and the constraints that they faced with hospital security not permitting easy visitation, Ken spoke of small blessings. And small blessings are still blessings. If you read on in Psalm 138, you'll see a different tone. You'll see there's something that is a challenging context, but you'll still see David expressing gratitude for the blessings of God. In verse 1, he speaks about the things that he can still do and the things that we can still do. He says, I will praise the Lord. Literally, I will thank God with all my heart. I will go public. I will bow the knee to you, O God. I thank you and I praise you for your name. We can do the same. We can praise the one whose name is above all names, the one whose name at whose name every knee will bow. And so thank you, Lord, that you have enabled us to recognize this now. We can bow the knee to you now and praise your name. Verse 2 says that he says, thank you, Lord, for your love. Love that will not let us go. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace, this love to know. Go and plumb how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, David goes on to say. It's your character to be faithful and to be true. God, it's your character to keep your word. So we can thank him for his faithfulness. He does not change like shifting shadows. He doesn't change like trends or fashion. He doesn't change, Lord, you do not change in unpredictable circumstances. You are faithful. Great is your faithfulness, we have often sung. Your name and your truth are exalted above all things. That doesn't change. Knowing this puts you in a good place. And so acknowledge this, pray this, sing this. Your name, O God, is exalted above all things. Verse 3 says, you hear me when I call. You answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. The Lord makes it so that you can stand, so we can stand, so we can resist temptation to grumble and complain and lament. And we can stand against anything else that comes our way. We don't have to give in to temptation. Verses 4 and 5 says something amazing. It says that you give hope that leaders of nations will hear the words of your mouth and to see the ways of the Lord. And David is actually in the context of being amongst Gentiles and not amongst his own people, where he once could easily go and worship God in the normal ways. Now he's not in that situation, but he believes and he declares that, and so has hope, as can we, that the leaders of nations will see the ways of the Lord. You give us hope that they will see the glory of the Lord and that the glory of the Lord is great. Now get this. In verse 6 of Psalm 138, it says, though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly. He gives grace to the humble. That's what it says in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. And I'm not, and you are not, too insignificant for the Lord to look upon you and look after you and to look out for you. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You will revive me. Jesus said that he has come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness. And this is life with eternal dimensions. This is life in the hands of God. And then verse 8, the last verse in this psalm, it says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me and for you. Isn't that amazing? His promise to bring to completion what he has started. That's Philippians 1 verse 6. I have to admit there have been many jobs that I've started and not finished. You might admit the same. Most of us are like that. But it's not so with God. Queen Esther, when she was exhorted by her stepfather, Mordecai, she came to understand, as Mordecai said to her, who knows that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this? That's Esther 4 verse 14. I believe that we actually have been equipped and made ready for such a time as this. So, as creatures of habit who are experiencing a lot of forced change, may we see the consistent, may we see the unchanging blessing, may we experience the reliable blessing, the biblical precedented blessing of God, that he still does all this. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And Lord, even in difficult circumstances, with changing rhythms, you do not abandon the work of your hands. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray. Our precious God, we bow before you, even in the isolation of our own lounge rooms, Lord, not together as we normally are. And we have to thank you, Lord, for small blessings, because, Lord, a blessing from you is still a blessing from you. And we thank you, Lord, as we look at your word, that your people then, and we as your people now, Lord, we realize we are not strangers to difficulty or trouble. But Lord, we are not left alone. We are not abandoned. You do not abandon the work of your hands. And that your love does endure forever. And that, Lord, your purposes will be fulfilled even in us. So, Father, open our eyes, we pray. May your Spirit be at work in us, stirring our hearts to be a people who step up and not shrink back. To be a people who love because we are well loved. And to be a people who, Lord, sees the opportunity to show that there's light and there's hope and there's help that comes from you. And that your name and your word, Lord, will be exalted, Lord, even in these times. We pray for leaders of nations that they may see that, Lord, what you do is good and that your ways are right. Enable us, Lord, to show your love. Enable us, Lord, to step out each day with hope. And Lord, with your peace which passes all understanding, guarding our hearts and our minds in you. We thank you, Lord, that our brother and sister Mavis and Lindsay know this peace at this time. And Lord, we just ask now that you would direct us in your ways and in your great faithfulness, in Jesus' name. Amen.